This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. What self-awareness looks like in highly empathic people who absorb others' emotions. How empaths stay grounded when other people's feelings flood in. In short, highly empathic people carry a particular burden. They absorb the emotions of others so readily that those feelings can become indistinguishable from their own. Empathic self-awareness is the skill of noticing the difference. Without it, empaths make decisions based on feelings that do not belong to them. With it, they can stay grounded, respond clearly, and protect their own capacity to think. The examples below show what that skill looks like in practice and what its absence costs. Definition: empathic self-awareness is the capacity of a highly empathic person to recognize, in real time, when the emotions they are experiencing have been absorbed from others rather than generated from within. It is the internal skill that separates conscious empathy from emotional flooding. When you can no longer tell whose feelings you are carrying. I watched a young woman walk into a team meeting composed and clear-headed, and walk out 40 minutes later shaking. Nothing bad had happened to her personally, but the room had been tense. Two colleagues had been at each other all morning, and she had absorbed every bit of it. She had no idea that was what happened. She thought she was stressed about the project. That is what the absence of empathic self-awareness looks like from the outside. From the inside, it feels like your own emotions just arrived without warning. Before you read these examples, here is what to watch for. Self-awareness in a highly empathic person is not calm. It is not detachment. It is a specific, practiced act of noticing where did this feeling come from, and is it mine? When you see someone pause before they respond, when you see someone name what is happening in the room before they engage with it, when you see someone set a limit without apologizing, you're watching that skill in action. When you see someone spiral, over-explain, over-give, or suddenly lose the thread of their own thinking in the middle of someone else's distress, you're watching its absence. Read these examples with that distinction in mind. Five scenarios that show what empathic self-awareness actually looks like. 1. A manager who kept losing her own position. A senior manager led a team of 8. She was known as the person you could bring anything to. That reputation was earned, and she was genuinely proud of it. But over the course of a difficult quarter, her team was struggling missed targets, interpersonal friction, and one team member going through a painful personal situation. Every one-to-one left the manager feeling heavier. She began to dread Monday mornings. In a coaching session, she was asked a direct question: when did you last know clearly what you thought, separate from what your team was feeling? She sat with that for a long time. She realized she had stopped forming her own views before conversations. She was walking in already tuned to whatever the other person was carrying, and her own signal was getting lost in the noise. What this reveals is the slow erosion that comes without empathic self-awareness. She was not weak. She was skilled at reading others, but she had no system for reading herself first. She began a simple practice before each one-to-one. She would sit alone for 3 minutes and note what she already felt, independent of what was coming. The difference was immediate and significant. Self-awareness does not start after the conversation. It starts before you enter the room. 2. A new hire who absorbed a team's collective anxiety. A new hire joined a team that had been through a rough restructure 6 months earlier. The team was functional on the surface, but an undercurrent of distrust and fatigue ran through every meeting. Within 3 weeks, the new hire was convinced he had made a mistake joining. He felt anxious, uncertain about his abilities, and unable to sleep. He had walked into an organization carrying unresolved grief, and he had absorbed it wholesale. His previous job had been stable and affirming. Nothing in his own circumstances had changed, but because he had no frame for emotional contagion, he attributed the feelings entirely to himself. He began questioning his competence. He nearly resigned. A mentor pointed out the pattern: the feelings arrived when he was in the building and lifted when he was not. That observation was the turning point. He started tracking the pattern himself, noting when the anxiety appeared and what was happening around him when it did. It gave him back his own ground. What we see here is how absorption, without the awareness to name it, can rewrite a person's self-concept entirely. The feelings were real. They simply were not his. Understanding that is not a small insight. It can save a career. 3. A project lead who could not stop helping. Here is the one that cost the most. A project lead was highly empathic, well-regarded, and generous. A colleague was struggling with a piece of work, and came to her for help. She stayed late. Then the collie came back. She stayed late again. This continued for 4 weeks. The project lead began missing her own deadlines, taking on deliverables that were not hers, and arriving home too depleted to speak. When her own manager raised the missed work, she could not explain what had happened. She genuinely could not see it. She said, "He needed help." Her manager said, "And what did you need?" She had no answer. She had not asked herself that question in weeks. This is the failure mode that empathic self-awareness exists to prevent. She was responding entirely to another person's distress signal and had no awareness of her own accumulating cost. Empathy without self-awareness is not a virtue in this context. It becomes a mechanism for self-erasure. The colleague's work did not meaningfully improve. She burned out. Neither outcome was necessary. Her recovery required learning to notice the felt sense of depletion before it became critical, and to name it as information rather than ignore it as inconvenience. See also the patterns of emotional triggers and unmet needs in team dynamics. The same mechanism that drives team conflict drives individual exhaustion. 4. A facilitator who named the room. A facilitator was running a planning session for a team that had, unknown to her, been involved in a difficult conversation with their director that morning. The session was supposed to be creative and energized. Instead, it felt like moving furniture through wet concrete. 10 minutes in, she paused. She did not push harder. She did not perform more energy to compensate. She said, quietly, "Something heavy came into this room before I did. I can feel it. We do not have to name it, but I want to acknowledge it is here before we continue." The room shifted. 3 people exhaled. 1 person said thank you. The session became productive. What she demonstrated was empathic self-awareness operating at its most precise. She noticed the feeling. She located it correctly in the room, not in herself. She named it without projecting, without diagnosing, without taking it on. Then she stepped back to her own role. That sequence, notice, locate, name, return, is what the skill looks like when it is well developed. Emotional regulation in high-pressure moments often depends on exactly this kind of grounded noticing before the room pulls you under. 5. A team lead whose mirror kept cracking. A team lead was warm, perceptive, and deeply trusted. In performance review season, he conducted 12 one-to-ones in 2 days. By the end of the second day, he was short-tempered with his partner, could not concentrate on anything, and had a physical headache he could not explain. He had not eaten badly, slept poorly, or received any difficult news. He had simply absorbed 12 people's anxiety, hope, disappointment, and relief in 4 to 8 hours, with no recovery time in between and no practice of clearing what he had taken on. He recognized it himself, eventually. He said, "I came home as everyone else. That is exactly it." Without deliberate self-awareness practice, a highly empathic person can end a week not knowing whose exhaustion they are actually carrying. Amygdala hijack patterns in team settings often begin with exactly this kind of accumulated emotional noise reaching a tipping point. What changed for him was simple a 10-minute gap between each one-to-one, used specifically to notice what he was carrying and consciously set it down. Not a meditation, not a system, just a pause with a purpose. The thread running through all 5. These 5 people were not lacking in empathy. They had too much of it operating without a counterweight. The counterweight is self-awareness, and it is not a personality trait. It is a practiced act. Several patterns appear across these scenarios. First, the body knows before the mind does. Heaviness, tightness, restlessness, sudden depletion, these are signals of absorption, not personal weakness. Empathic self-awareness begins in the body, not in analysis. Second, the absence of the skill does not look like emotional chaos from the outside. It looks like generosity, dedication, and care. The cost accumulates invisibly. Third, recovery in each case began with a single question, "Is this mine?" That question is the practice. The connection between self-awareness and effective communication is direct. Emotional intelligence and tone in leadership communication depends entirely on a leader knowing what they themselves are feeling before they open their mouth. If that signal is contaminated by absorbed emotion, the tone will follow the wrong source. Similarly, staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction requires the same internal clarity. What is actually happening in me right now? What these patterns mean for you? If you recognize yourself in any of these examples, the question is not whether you're too empathic. It is whether you have a practice that keeps you anchored to your own internal state. Start with one question you ask before any significant conversation. What am I already feeling right now? Before this begins, write it down if you need to. Give it a word. That act alone begins to separate your signal from the noise around you. After a difficult conversation or a heavy day, ask a second question. What am I carrying that arrived from someone else? You do not need to analyze it. You just need to name it as borrowed, not owned. The confidence-competence loop that shapes feedback quality applies here too. The more consistently you practice this noticing, the faster and more reliable it becomes. Empathic self-awareness is not about feeling less. It is about knowing what you feel and where it came from. That distinction is the difference between a gift and a burden. The confidence a manager carries into tension is built on exactly this: knowing their own ground well enough that someone else's storm does not sweep them off it. You deserve to know whose feelings you are standing in. That knowledge is the beginning of every other skill. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Frequently asked questions. What is empathic self-awareness? Empathic self-awareness is the ability of a highly empathic person to notice when they're carrying emotions that belong to someone else. It means pausing to ask, is this feeling mine? Without that skill, empaths absorb the emotional states of those around them and mistake borrowed feelings for their own. How do highly empathic people develop stronger self-awareness? They develop it through consistent practice of body-based check-ins, pausing before reacting to ask whether the emotion they feel originated inside them or came from the room. Over time, recognizing the physical signature of absorption, tightness, heaviness, restlessness becomes a reliable early warning system. Why do empathic people struggle with self-awareness in groups? In group settings, emotional contagion moves fast. An empathic person can absorb several people's anxiety, frustration, or despair simultaneously, and the noise of those borrowed feelings drowns out their own internal signal. Without a moment of deliberate separation, they lose track of where they end and others begin. What does poor self-awareness cost an empathic person at work? The cost is significant. Without empathic self-awareness, a person makes decisions based on feelings that are not theirs, takes on responsibilities that belong to others, and exhausts themselves trying to fix problems they did not create. Over time, this erodes clarity, confidence, and the capacity to lead or collaborate effectively. Can self-awareness be practiced in real time during a difficult conversation? Yes, and it must be. The practice is simple, but not easy. Notice the physical sensation first, name it silently, then ask whether it existed before you entered the conversation. That 3-second pause creates enough separation to respond from your own ground rather than from someone else's emotional weather. How is self-awareness different from empathy itself? Empathy is the capacity to sense what another person feels. Self-awareness is the capacity to notice you are doing it. Without self-awareness, empathy operates unconsciously and the empathic person is swept along by whatever emotion is strongest in the room. Self-awareness turns an automatic reaction into a conscious, directed skill. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.